Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to testify and test to Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this, and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, 'Look after him, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have.' Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers?" The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." The Gospel of the Lord. Good evening. I was honored and humbled when Father McCormick offered the opportunity for me to preach at this Mass. And ever since that moment, I have been praying and really thinking deliberately on what message to pass today. We find ourselves in a trying time in our world, and we come together for a special reason tonight, to pray for all who are sick, unemployed, and those fighting addiction. And I think that last piece is extremely important in our world today, but most especially in our own town. Addiction is a nasty demon. I'm not going to lie. It's something that can destroy families, wreck friendships, lose jobs, you name it. We don't have to look far from home to find it. And yet we all have an addiction. Some addictions don't seem to be as big of a deal as others, such as addictions that lead to prison, or even worse, death. Yet we all still have our own addictions. But the question we must ask ourselves about these addictions is, who is the master of them? Who is the master of my life? Is it my addiction? Or is it Jesus Christ? Now, I'm not saying that one can pray away any sort of addictions or sufferings or pain in life. That would be a lie. What I am saying is that Jesus Christ promised us that if we lean on him, he will hold us up. How can we see that in our lives? We often hear that, but is it really something that we can grasp onto? Is it really something that we ourselves can see? When we reach out to someone else for help, we humble ourselves. We lay down our pride. We become vulnerable. We must always have the courage to admit when we don't know something and ask for help when we need it. We must be willing to take that step out of our comfort zone, knowing fully well that Jesus Christ is already there, waiting for us to follow him. If we take that step towards Christ, he becomes the master of our lives. If we trust in Jesus, he becomes our purpose. But this is not a once and done decision. This is a daily decision to follow Christ. It's an hourly decision. It's a breath by breath decision. Every moment of our lives must be devoted to one thing: to follow Jesus Christ, no matter where he takes us. And when we follow him, we attract followers. We must always be the beacon of hope for others in our life, always pointing back to Him, back to the salvation that gives us this hope, the cross. In whatever way we might suffer, we suffer in union with the cross. We suffer in union with our patroness, Saint Philomena. We suffer in union with our parish patron, James the Apostle, and all the rest of the martyrs throughout the world. Even to this current day, we have martyrs in our world. Yet when we suffer, we don't make a scene like the hypocrites. For as Christ has told us, they neglect their appearance so that they may appear to others to be suffering. They have already received their reward. We suffer with joy. Sounds like a contradiction. But we must suffer, knowing that this is not the end. We suffer for the hope of the coming of Christ. He promised us that. He will fulfill His promises. He has in my life, and I know He will in everybody's life. We suffer with love, especially for the love for those who persecute us. We suffer with faith, knowing that He will come again. And in everything we do, we should be Jesus Christ to others. When I was in high school, I worked for the Sisters of St. Joseph. I was their Saturday morning telephone operator. In my work there, I became very aware of how important it is to answer the phone with a smile. You couldn't see me, but in the tone of my voice, you could tell that I was ready and willing to assist the caller on the other end of the phone. I soon became aware, so very often, people would call just to talk, never visiting in person, never giving a name, never saying much about themselves, just wanting to hear another voice. Realizing this, I set out on a personal mission that I continue to work toward today, yet I know I fail miserably at this goal. This goal of mine, that every person that I meet, whether in person, over the phone, or in today's world via email, meets not Andrew Boyd, but rather Jesus Christ. This should be the goal of all of us, and I think gathered here tonight, this is your goal. We may not have an addiction that we need healing from, but we do know someone in our lives who is suffering, either from addiction or from unemployment or from illness. We need to bring Jesus Christ to that person. When that person's suffering meets us, they need to see Jesus Christ. They need Him more than us. They need to know that they are safe with us and that we will be willing to help them in the best of our abilities. And we need to be humble enough to know that when we cannot help anymore, when we ourselves need to reach out and get help to assist this person. None of us are Jesus Christ incarnate, and therefore, none of us will save the world by ourselves. But we all have a part of Jesus inside of us, aching and yearning to get out and work in this world. Seems impossible today. You turn on the news and it's depression and sadness and destruction. But we must never give up. We must be willing to work for Him in whatever capacity He calls us to, knowing that He will give us whatever we need so as to further His will in our world. My dearly beloved brothers and sisters, please pray with me now. Lord Jesus Christ, we need You now more than ever. We look around our world and see destruction, desperation, evil. We need You now to save the lost, the hungry, the suffering, the innocent. Father, make us Your messengers. Make us Your hands and feet to do Your will. Give us the courage to follow You everywhere You go, knowing that You give us the strength, the will, the ability to bring a message of hope and peace to the world. Come, Holy Spirit, set the world on fire, a fire of Your great love and mercy, bringing together all of Your children in peace to do Your will. We ask this through Christ our Lord.